I'm Amit O'Ramley from Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, and I'm a Windows Phone champ.
Hi, I'm John O'Donnell from Chicago, and I'm a Microsoft Windows Phone champ.
And I'm Jared Benz from Houston, Texas, and I am also a Windows Phone champ.
So yesterday was, for many people, one of the first days that they saw the Windows Phone 7 interface. So guys, what did you think?
I thought the reaction from the audience was invigorating. I mean, there was just a lot of buzz about it through the sessions, between sessions, at meals, talking to people. I think they really felt we nailed it, or we nailed a user experience that's compelling, that's sticky, that's... That just brings opportunities for applications to be developed on.
I was going to say the same thing. I mean, of course, the folks out there don't know, but we manage accounts, mm-hmm. right? So we have a dedicated list of accounts, and everyone I've talked to there is just super excited about this as a development platform. And I think the thing to me one of the things that I'm most excited about is that this platform is, it's the same. It's what our folks are already doing, right? So if you know Silverlight, you'll be able to do the phone. And it's not some modified version of Silverlight. It's the exact runtime, right? So you can write the application, dump it out of Visual Studio, and it runs on.
Well, from my perspective, I sort of liked the comparison to existing competitive mobile platforms where when you look at them today, they tend to look more like an application launching a platform rather than a true UI. So I was very impressed with how clean the interface is on Windows Phone Series 7, and especially, you know, like the Zoom HD, the clever use of typography to display
sure.
information. I mean, you know, one of the things I really liked was just a calendar tool. I thought it was just really, yep. really clear.
And glanceable information, right? So
yeah.
the moment that you slide up, you yep. see all of your information, and I really liked the user notifications to me, and the applications themselves can push notifications either to update a tile on the screen
right.
or to do a toast pop-up if the user's right. accepted that. I mean, that's pretty groundbreaking.
And the ability for the user to really configure the UI for themselves, right? Which tiles show up overall in the start menu, mm-hmm. the order of the tiles. Those are things the user can configure themselves, you know, based on what's important to them. So it isn't necessarily the mobile operator or us as Microsoft deciding what should that user experience be in terms of what applications you see at the top, what you see at the bottom. The user has a lot of control over that.
And John, I know you and I have talked a lot about gaming. We're kind of big
Xbox gamers, yeah.
So what are your thoughts on, I mean, the other thing, too, for those out there who, I'm assuming most of you have already seen this, but on top of Silverlight, we have XNA now.
Yeah.
And a pretty robust GPU as well. I was blown away by the Harvest game. Seeing that Harvest game
yeah.
out on the device, on the PC, and then on the 360.
All three
of course,
platforms.
The one thing that I was a little bit let down about was the frame rate didn't look that good over USB, mm-hmm. but you know, we saw it on the camera, we saw it on the actual device yesterday, and that was incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of things on the Xbox gaming experience. I mean, first of all, the fact that you can now build games for the Windows Phone device, which can actually... can obviously give you rewards on the Xbox Live
achievements,
achievements as well, and then also.
Although I feel a little bad about that because you know all those achievement hounds out there, they're going to kind of have to buy
it's a
device,
cheating,
right?
But I was talking to one of the program managers, and we got talking about how you could actually start playing a game on Xbox mm-hmm. at home, and then as you leave, potentially restart it on your Windows Phone device, so you kind of bounce and forth between the two
Absolutely.
Platforms. And then I guess the thing I really liked, maybe because I'm maybe slightly older than you guys, was this was this concept of turn-based gaming. Mm-hmm. Right now the examples given were things like potentially playing things like chess, where you're playing against someone on a true Xbox, and it's a turn-by-turn game. But of course, it could almost kickstart these type of like these old board
yep.
games used to be out.
Yep. Yeah, and the intelligent use of the notification system
yep.
too to let you know. For those of you who haven't had a chance to look at the notification system, one of the really cool things about it is your app doesn't even need to be online, right? So a server somewhere that is potentially hosting part of this interactive game logic can send a notification to your device
on Azure,
right? And with that notification can come a piece of data. That data can be as simple as, hey, it's your turn to play. But that data can even be something more rich of, maybe here's a small piece of here's what's happened, or here's a token that you need to pass up to the game server to get your additional data. So it's a very rich notification system. Certainly you can use it for just an inbox and your turn to play, but it's even more robust than that.
So So let's talk about the hardware specs. I mean, I'll talk about the screen. I mean, obviously we've got an 800 by 480 capacitive touch screen, which supports 4 touch points.
Yep.
And then also, later on we'll also be delivering a device which has a 320 by 480 screen as well. But I guess the clear message is that you will not see devices with more than 2 screen resolutions in the marketplace.
Yep.
So from a development aspect, it's going to be very clear, very easy to target those 2 resolutions. What about the sensors? Tell us about the sensors.
Oh, goodness. There's light, there's proximity, there's, of course, the camera and microphone.
Mm-hmm. Let's pause on the camera. Was it 5 megapixels?
It's 5 megapixels.
5 megapixel required on
yep.
all devices.
And we're actually intending that this device, hopefully can replace a lot of people's pocket cameras.
Yep.
So, out of pocket to taking a picture in just a short number of seconds, at least as good as what a pocket camera would be. So we can use it for that. There's the accelerometer, and then there's a GPS and a compass as well. So lots of devices, and almost all of them programmatically accessible from Silverlight applications as well.
But even the GPS is interesting because we don't just have just regular GPS getting data from satellites, but it's also augmented by
assisted GPS. Yeah. So we've got the assisted GPS that can be augmented by your Wi-Fi, so you can get triangulation. Basically, there's a service running on the device that you as an application writer can query that service and ask for, do you want a highly accurate, so high-res lock or a low-res lock? So that's really interesting because the high-res lock will be GPS, but if you're indoors like we are right now, you're not going to get a high-res lock.
Yep.
You ask for that low-res lock and you get a very quick response based on a bunch of different inputs that the device can pull from.
Yeah, in fact, it saves battery too. So if you're just doing a search for something local, you need to know your rough zip code, then you can request a low-res and it won't even bother to turn on the GPS and request that data. And that's really good about it. Anybody out there that started to play with the Windows 7 APIs for location and sensor, it's the exact same APIs. So anything that you've done on the Windows 7 platform, you'll be able to apply to the mobile device.
And I was never mentioned that in some cases it would even say, okay, we know someone was in this area recently, so we know what their coordinates are. So that's what we return to.
Right. So it'll do some intelligent caching. Right. So if the resolution was low, and you were in a particular zip code, and then another application comes back and requests the same data within a set period of time, it won't even bother to do a service request or anything else, just use cached information.
So one of the things we've seen a lot of in the press about Windows Phone Series 7 is this thing called panoramas or hubs, and this is where you have, in effect, you use the device as a window onto a larger screen. So Jared, do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, well, so it's a very interesting navigation paradigm. First of all, to have this design surface that's much larger than the physical screen is interesting. We kind of hint some things, right? So after you've used the device for a little while, titles will get larger and things will kind of hang off the side of the screen, so you get an indication that there's more there that you can get to. I think that's very interesting, the extensibility of the hub. So we saw Netflix in the keynote yesterday,
right,
snapping right into the video side of it.
Well, let me just pause you there, because doesn't that mean that any major brand in the world could in effect become a panorama? So if you were maybe a company publishing a well-known magazine, you could actually build a new panorama based upon your magazine themes and then deliver content to your readership.
Absolutely.
There was actually a really good session yesterday afternoon for the audience. It was the UI design session for Windows Phone, where Arthur and Christian, I believe, went through sort of the history and the process that they went through to come up with the overall UI design for Windows Phone. And they talked about the panoramas and the hubs. And there's the hubs that we ship out of the box, but then there's the philosophy, as Jared's pointing out, of designing your own applications that are panoramic in nature. Sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't, but it lends itself to match that immersive experience that the rest of the platform is bringing. So, that view really... It's really a new, I think, application UI paradigm.
Yeah. That's not the only kind of navigation style that we've seen on the phone so far. The panoramas are very prevalent, but there's also the page style navigation, right? So, in fact, that's kind of built into the Silverlight framework today. If you go download the bits, which are available at developer.windowsphone.com, you can get them. They're free. And will remain free. So you pull those down, you do a new Silverlight application, and by default we create UI based on pages. So you can add multiple pages, just like a regular Silverlight application, but now we have navigation from page to page, and out of the box we provide transitions that you can tweak. You can literally open up and blend and tweak the, you know, all the attributes of that transition and get some really cool hardware accelerated transitions from screen to screen. So that's another navigation paradigm. And then the whole OS is just makes heavy use of deep zoom. We see it in mapping. We see it in some of our user interfaces, zooming in and out. So spatial navigation is another interesting paradigm, trying to, you know, deal with large volumes of data or information on a very small display. So lots of different ways to think about building applications. We're really excited to see what you guys build.
So talking about applications, I mean, obviously we've given a number of demos throughout the day. I mean, one Associated Press, because I like checking out the news. I love today when they showed you the group of photos at the top. You can just scroll backwards and forwards.
Little carousel view there on the top of that application. Yeah, very beautiful UI. And that one actually took advantage of sort of a hub view.
Right.
It was available in the marketplace. Once they launched it off in the marketplace and it downloaded, it was a hub-skinned application that was just offered a very compelling experience.
Well, it was sort of interesting because I saw a comment in the press where somebody was complaining that, you know, we were not displaying words in their entirety on the screen, but the idea was that by having a word actually going off the screen, it automatically encourages you to actually pan across. So getting it back to the club use of typography. So what was one of your favorite applications?
Yeah, honestly, I'd have to go back to Harvest. I mean, being a gamer, I was just really blown away by the graphics, the destructible environment, the full 3D running on the device. Like, I just want to play that game.
Well, let's quickly talk about the tools. I mean, obviously the big news is that the tools are free.
That's right. The tools are free. And I'd like to point out that this is the first time that we're releasing what is effectively an Express version of Expression Blend. Tied to phone development today. But we now have a free version of that tool, which is the first time we've done that. As we mentioned, that the tools are out, all downloadable for free. And the other thing, for students and anybody who qualifies for the DreamSpark program, we're going to be letting you publish applications as well without cost.
Okay. So final comments. I mean, I'll start off. My ISV literally had never seen Windows Phone Series 7 before coming to Mix. After the keynote, I called up with him and said, "What do you think?" He said, "John, we get it. Where's the tools?"
Similar story. I have at least three different accounts that have pretty much pledged phone apps before the end of this calendar year.
Excellent. Ahmed?
And mine is back to an ISV story. I went out to dinner with him last night, and he told me, Ahmed, my iPhone in my pocket was crying during the session.
Well, Jared and Ahmed, thanks for taking the time to talk with me, and thanks for watching.
So, see you guys.
Goodbye.